Casual conversations in the Word of God next here on Abounding Grace. Join us. Through the preaching and teaching of God's Word, we as Christians are encouraged on a daily basis, and in part through the ministry here at Abounding Grace. Welcome to the broadcast, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. You know, there are times where preaching is needed, and there are times where gentle and strong encouragement and instruction in the Word of God are needed. And that's what today's program is all about. Won't you join us as we are instructed through some casual conversation out of God's Word? Our teacher and pastor now. Here's Pastor Chris Gordon with this edition of Abounding Grace.
Well, thank you for joining us today on Abounding Grace. If you were with us yesterday, you know we began in looking at Genesis chapter 3. And I painted a picture for you yesterday of the very first scene in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve fell into sin and plunged us all into our sin and our misery. And there I highlighted what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel and the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. I made the case yesterday that this was the very first abomination that causes desolation. There was the serpent, guised in cunning, who was really the devil, the serpent who deceives the whole world, in the very holy place, deceiving and being deceptive, doing what? Exalting himself over God. He said, we use the language of Isaiah 14, I will ascend, I will exalt, I will sit, I will ascend, all culminating in him entering the very garden where God and Adam were in complete harmony and fellowship, communing as Adam was worshiping the Lord God. He came in, all culminating, wanting to be like the Most High God. And so he deceived and he tempted Adam and Eve. And here, I said yesterday, is where we clearly see what apostasy is. Sin describes it, and we haven't always understood this. All the words for sin in the Bible speak of sin as departure from God. Listen to a few different meanings of the words. Sin, of course, is transgression. There's the word for to miss the mark, a word for to go astray, shortcoming, offense. All of these, of course, in some way are describing departure, defection from the Lord God. And so what happens in the first garden scene is here is the great anti-God, the devil and Satan, who has led the whole rebellion in heaven, a creature living to exalt himself over God and above God. And where does he come? Well, we have the first abomination of desolation. He enters the Garden of Eden, he hears God give Adam commands, and he thinks that if he can take control of the human race, he will have the victory over God. And so he begins to take his seat where? In the temple of God, showing himself to be God. How does he do it? You'll notice here, this is what I want to work through today. He does three things in an attempt to exalt himself over God. Listen to verse 1. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? What a scene. The beast is rising up out of the sea. The little horn is exalting himself, speaking blasphemous words. And what is Satan's first attack? Well, he twists God's word, doesn't he? Has God really said that you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Notice how crafty this is. What had God said in chapter 2, verse 16? Well, he said, over every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. You may eat freely of all the trees except one. What does Satan say? Has God really said you shall not eat of every tree in the garden? Do you hear that twist? That's not what God had said. And do you hear what Satan just did? It's no wonder Jesus said he was the father of lies from the beginning. He twisted the words as subtly as he possibly could. Now, this is such an important point, my friends. I'm amazed at how many times the Bible says, do not harden your hearts. What was Israel's problem in the wilderness? Well, essentially, it was blatant rebellion against the Word of God, the whole pattern of which is set down in the garden. Did Eve know the Word of God? Of course she knew the Word of God. But what did she do? In pride, she hardened her heart against it. And this is how the whole rebellion started. This is where sin originated. This is the story of mankind ever since. Listen to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in doing what? Departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Well, that's just what we're considering in Genesis 3, isn't it? He goes on, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, for who having heard rebelled? Well, we know that, don't we? Of course, in context, that's Israel, but we could go back even further. Our first parents rebelled, and now what of us? You hear in this the fact that God had spoke very openly and very plainly regarding his will. But we, in turn, when the word says something we don't like, have the very strong propensity to harden our hearts against it, give way to rebellion, all the while thinking, God won't mind. He's not that serious about my sins. This is why the Bible is constantly calling us to give the most earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest what? We drift away. Look what happens with Eve. She begins to rehearse these things in her mind. And what does she do? Well, Eve knew the command well, but she begins to rehearse the command with additions and twists that God had not said. Genesis chapter 3, verse 2. We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. The fact here is that much of this is altered from what God actually did say in chapter 2. And the point is simply that Eve, at the devil's instigation, is beginning to question, now get this, the real meaning of the commandment. People say this all, do this all the time. What's the interpretation? What's the meaning? And then they twist it. We find all these things to attack the clear meaning. She adds to it, doesn't she? And then she only gives half-truths, saying, God said we cannot touch it. That statement is not given by God, and it throws a whole slant on the command, doesn't it? Bringing God's goodness into question. And then she begins to question the real seriousness of the punishment. She says, lest we die. Doesn't that give off a sense of questioning, of question regarding the death? It could happen, maybe. What did God say? For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. She says, we shouldn't do it lest we die. You see how subtly here God's word that was plain and clear is being twisted. All with the devil's opening words, did God really say? Now we do this all the time to God's word. We find these little outs and find our ways to exercise our own autonomy over it. We want to be our own gods. We don't like certain commandments, and so we bend and twist. We, of course, would honor most of the Ten Commandments. We would say we shouldn't murder, we shouldn't steal, we shouldn't commit adultery. No one in their right mind who is a Christian would say, oh, that's okay, now Christ has fulfilled that, we can do those things. But we'll pick and choose out of those commandments, won't we? Let's take this one, for instance. Honor the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Did God really say? Oh, come on. Christ has made you free from that commandment. That doesn't apply anymore, we hear. And so we begin to bend and twist. We pick the commandments we think are okay. We shouldn't murder, steal, commit adultery, bear false witness, all those things. But when it comes to that one, well, that one, no. That's legalistic, we hear. Or what about this one? I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. That's 1 Corinthians 14. That's also 1 Timothy chapter 3. And what do we have here? 2 and 3? What do we have here? We hear all the time in the secular and even the Christian world. Did God really say? I hear so many Christians tell me today, that was cultural. Paul was a chauvinist. And so in our day, we can ordain women to the gospel ministry, disregarding those clear commandments. Or let me give you another. What about Leviticus chapter 10? By those who come near to me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified. How so? Well, by doing what God has commanded in worship. Look, God didn't say we couldn't do this in worship. Look, what does God really mean here? Don't limit the Holy Spirit. We can do all these different things in worship to sort of help and enhance God's people to help them worship. Now, let me quote a few others here. 1 Corinthians 6, do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. That's God's word. Oh, come on. God's a loving God. The church is full of sinners. Lest we be hypocrites, we shouldn't be too legalistic and judgmental on these things. Now we could keep going, right? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Submit to those in authority over you. Obey. Not if I don't agree. You see what we do. These are clear statements from the Word of God. And our whole tendency is to downplay the sin and make excuses and explain away God's very clear commandments that are tied to who he is and his holiness. And this is what happens in verse 4. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. God had said they would surely die. So what does Satan do? He calls God a liar. Look, you surely won't die. Satan knew exactly what God had said. God won't perform these judgments against sin. My friends, God will. That's why we need Jesus Christ. And if you are covered in him, then you are covered by his blood and he sees you in the very righteousness of Christ. But if not, you are a covenant breaker in Adam and will be judged on that basis. This is not a popular message, but that's why we proclaim this Jesus. Jesus Christ and him crucified, and we'll consider this more this week. May we give ourselves again to the word of God to honor him in what we say and do. Not always like the truth, and the Bible gives many things that are contrary to what we like in our sinful natures. But we're called to hear the Word of God and not harden our hearts against it. There should be a deep love for what God has said because he is the author of history and the author of our lives. Would you like to know more about him and his beloved Son, Jesus Christ? We proclaim him in season and out of season at the Linden United Reformed Church, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.